Welcome to the Ether. Today is Monday, May 2nd, 2022. Today on the Ether, a super terra space chatting about what are the keys to success in a startup NFT project. Let's take a listen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Hello. Hello. How are you, sir?
Yeah, good. My brain's a bit more awake today than it normally is at this time, so I'm excited.
Marvelous, marvelous. And I am aware that there is a quite substantial spaces, which I'll be listening to on replay that is currently underway. We obviously, we'll press on with our own one because the beauty of the Terra space is you just never know what else is going on. But obviously, this is our regular Monday/Tuesday for you, Simon. Slot that we've been doing now for quite a few months, and perhaps I'm happy to get straight into it, to be honest. I'm sure it'll gather as it always does. This week's topic of discussion, again, delving into the mechanics of starting up an NFT project and everything that's needed to make sure that it's a success. So it's really further exploring some of the conversations that we've had in the previous sessions, but this time really looking at kind of success metrics and mechanics around NFT projects, and clearly not just limited to the Terra space, but looking more generally around the broader crypto space. There's been some good examples this week of second or even tertiary phase activities that major well-established projects have done, one of which, it can't really go unnoted, nearly crashed the Ethereum's chain with gas fees that absolutely would make the eyes water. Even perhaps the odd whale would be wincing with those. But I guess the point there is that's an example of a project that's become so massive and successful that it's almost not outgrown its chain, but perhaps there are lessons to be learned there. But this is all about, as I say, exploring the very genesis of a project and those ingredients to get it started. So as your brain is more awake, Simon, I'll let you give your sort of opening thoughts on this. And a reminder, as always, these spaces for anyone joining us for the first time are all about interaction. So feel free to press the request to speak button. We don't have all the answers, and part of the fun and joy of these sessions is that we actually get to share thoughts, learning, and bounce ideas off each other.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, this is, a topic that we've obviously been exploring quite a lot ourselves. And, as Super Terra said, it's all about, this space is about bringing speakers up and people that have got experience in different areas and just having a bit of an open forum discussion around, this topic. So it's great to have a couple of faces on, Jordan from last week. Of guys that have been around in the NFT space for quite a long time, and they do have experience in this stuff as well. I will say one of the biggest things that I have noticed from, successful NFT projects and ones that have done it well is really the ability to, the ability to connect with the existing NFT projects and audience and create strong partnerships and create cross-promotion and collaborations. And I mean, this may be a given to some, but many projects that come in and they look to mint, and they aren't able to set those relationships with the existing large NFT projects that have the eyeballs and the reach. And I think that's such an important piece to starting an NFT project. So I don't know what you think, Sarah Patera, but we're going to bring some speakers up to add some value as well. And I'd love to hear your points as well, Sarah Patera.
I think for me, a lot of it, and obviously we know from our own experiences as we're looking to build out potential project plans, actually having that base of understanding of the marketplace, understanding of other projects. And I think actually that whole kind of social interaction, if you're wanting to produce a project that's ultimately successful, beyond that initial mint opportunity, because I think that's a relatively small part of a successful project, because that's very much, if you like, the first proof point. And as we've seen with a number of recently successful projects, that's often the bootstrap liquidity opportunity that allows a project to then really invest to gain the greater value. But going back to your comment, it's really important to make, it's about connections in the space and also understanding what works, what hasn't worked before. And actually also importantly, and I'm seeing this more and more now, there are a lot of brilliant brains in this space. And there's the old adage that I remember reading about as a youngster, that if you put so many hundred monkeys in a room, I mean, it sounds nonsensical, but if you put them all on a keyboard, some of them, if you kind of analyze the words, would create the works of Shakespeare. It's kind of one of those ridiculous statements. But I guess what I'm getting at there is, if you put a lot of brilliant brains in a space, a lot of us independently, without any direct causal links, will be potentially solving for the same solution. So actually having those collaborations, conversations and discussions mean that our energies are better focused to make sure that we're all collectively driving to a greater benefit for each other. And I think probably just to kind of close that off, I think one of the best things about this space is when you have an idea, in certain parts of society, you kind of hide it away until it's at a really advanced stage. You make sure you've got all the, you know, protective caveats that no one's going to run off with it. But here I find that if you share an idea, actually a lot of the time people then go, well, I want to help you with this. I want to expand that. So I think applying that to the NFT sort of startup opportunity, I think there's a stress test opportunity that the community can do. That's absolutely important. But also there's a kind of a sense as well of, if you've got an idea, others will jump in to help you nurture it and move it forwards.
Hello, I am from Ukraine. My name is Tanya Demchuk. My collection is my job. This is first for my life. My goal is to buy an iPhone with this collection. This collection is based on my pain as well as my imagination, my mistakes and my disappointments. I pinned this space. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Welcome. It's always great to have new speakers. And obviously, you know, with your collection there, and I can see you've got something outside of the Terra chain. So good to kind of understand your kind of early thoughts on investing in, you know, your creative energies in that space. Is it an ETH chain project?
This is Unicure. I like Infinite. This is handmade, and this is perfect.
Marvelous. So tell us a bit more about it. Oh, we're interested, because obviously this space is all about keys to a successful startup project. You've done the first step there. You've got it onto OpenSea, and I can see you've posted up a link there for people to have a look at and explore. It'd be good to understand kind of, you know, why OpenSea, and you know, tell us a little bit more about your project.
Okay, maybe move on. What are your thoughts, Sukhdara?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is always an open forum. I'm like a Catholic priest. I'll listen to any confession or conversation that anyone wants to have and give everyone a fair space, even those that are challenging. But actually, I like Be Official because, yeah, they're looking to create a new project. And obviously, we've got some exposure there, so we can have a look at that afterwards. And that's obviously on the link. So thank you for your participation. I mean, in terms of my thoughts going forwards, for me, part of the decision process, and I know you and I, Simon, have spoken about this at length, is thinking about, you know, the kind of the size of project, the kind of, if you like, the intricacy that you want to really bring into it, and then if you like, the phasing around it. And I think some examples of really successful projects, the ones that actually, from an early stage, have thought about 2, 3, 4 steps ahead. But what they've done, and I quite like it, is think about, you know, the classic word redacted. In reality, it's shorthand for teasers yet to come. But I think it shows a project that's not getting ahead of itself. And actually, I've run a number of spaces recently with small projects that absolutely have a view on a first mint. And their view is very simply, we want to get to a certain point, and then, A, we want the community to help and support, which I think is really positive, because that brings minds and hearts with you. And B, they've not kind of preordained a roadmap that absolutely set in stone. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I think that's if you like, a good starting point for any kind of, you know, anchoring for a new project.
Yeah, look, it is something that we've actually kind of wrestled with ourselves, you know, working on a project. There's two pieces to it, I think. It's kind of an interesting, you know, balance and a dance, right? Where you want to, like a business, an NFT project, if it's run, it's a business, right? In some shape or form. And, you know, you always want to listen to the people that you're looking to serve. And it's sometimes a little bit harder with NFT projects and art, because, you know, when you're doing research for a traditional business, you're looking at, you know, what are the needs, what are the wants, all this sort of stuff of my community. And that's, you know, obviously very possible with NFT project and utility. But I still feel like it's still quite different, and there's some certain pieces that are different to that. So when you're building an NFT project, you really want to get as much feedback as possible of what people really want and give people what they really want. And especially in this space that moves so quickly, you know, you could start something and then 2 or 3 weeks later, the game's completely changed. So you've got to be really able to adapt through, you know, your roadmap and everything like that. So even if you do have a set roadmap, you can't get married to it. You've got to be able to kind of adapt and change. The other one that's kind of a difficult kind of dance is the difference between, do you release a massive roadmap and have a massive, massive roadmap from day one, which can create issues, because then if you don't fulfill your roadmap, then, you know, you know, people don't get happy because you haven't achieved your roadmap. And the other piece is launching without a roadmap and not having no utility whatsoever, which is also not great, because you're not thinking far ahead enough and you're not creating enough value for the future for the project. So it is an interesting balance and dance. And I think I like your idea and your thoughts around, you know, the redacted, where you release enough to get people excited and moving, but you don't also release all the big things that you need to release from day one. Because if you release everything, you go, oh, we're going to build a metaverse, a game, all this sort of stuff, that's been said by many other projects and hasn't been delivered. So it creates that imprint in people's mind. So I think it's an important consideration when you're building that roadmap, for sure.
And I think with that in mind, certainly the community, if you overpromise something, the community will hold you to that. And there's a danger, again, if a project stretches in the early stages, that the community can come back hard, and I would say unfairly in some cases, to correct. But I think, you know, examples of projects that have kind of teased out a broader plan, I think Hero did that very well from the early stages. They did obviously the dual mint. But what I really liked was fairly early on, they talked about an extra value associated with their common NFTs, and essentially didn't say too much more, and then they got the mechanism built and then released this heroes and villains story that they had running for some time, and then they released the opportunity for you to take commons, burn 2 commons to create a villain. And the reason I cite that as an example was that was teased early on, but it wasn't teased as this is what we're going to be doing, this is exactly when, this is exactly how, but it's set in train a thought that's going to happen. Again, we've seen this with Lunar Balls. Tesseracts were teased early on in the project, but the detail around it was only released much later. But what it does is, it's quite clever, it takes your community with you, and it also allows a project to pivot and say, actually, our original vision was X. We didn't release X, it was redacted. We've got an idea around it. But then they can actually just test the waters on what really is practical and really can work. And I think that's a sign of a project that's A, listening to its community, and B, that continuous engagement doesn't have to be big bang reveals every few weeks. And to your point, Simon, the NFT world is so fluid that if you cast your mind back just 7 days, I'm not going to say anything more on the subject other than this. 7 days ago, we were on the spaces, and I was quite excited because there was a mint a little bit later that evening. That's 7 days ago. That feels like a lifetime ago with everything that's happened in the Terra NFT space in the last 7 days. So, yeah, the projects have had to think about a lot of different things due to actions and activities that have happened in the space, and that's in 7 days. And I think, was it Harold Wilson who said, a week is a long time in politics? Or maybe it was Macmillan. But anyway, it's one of those 1960s or 70s politicians. But the whole point is, I think in Terra and in crypto in general, sometimes 2 or 3 days is a lifetime in terms of change. So to your point there, it's think important that you pivot. Yes. Sorry.
Think about this, Super Terra. Think about how old like DeFi actually is. It's like really maybe SushiSwap, for example. I remember the DeFi summer, right, of SushiSwap and Wi-Fi and stuff. That was not that long ago. It was maybe, what, like 2 years ago? Even maybe less? Trying to think off the top of my head. So you think about that. Like, you think about DeFi summer and SushiSwap, you think it's like a lifetime ago, but it's maybe not even 2 years old. And same with NFT. The NFT craze isn't really not that old either. So timelines are compressed like massively in this space.
Absolutely. And on that front, I think I must have quoted this 100 times, if not 1,000, that literally Terra NFTs, for example, only started last sort of August, September. It feels a lifetime ago with everything that's been built since then. And even Bored Apes has only just had its 1 year anniversary as one of the, you know, the blue chip successes of the broader NFT space. But you're absolutely right, Simon. Yeah, things happened a week ago, and I had to just double check because my tired brain was doubting myself. But I was right. It was Harold Wilson that said that a week is a long time in politics. I'd say 2 days is a long time in crypto with things that can happen. I mean, how many times have we had China FUD in the last 12 months and a market clampdowns and everything else? And I was talking to someone over the weekend who said, oh, my God, the market's been mired for months. And I thought, has it? Has it really? But it's all about perception. And your angle. And again, bring it back to the main subject, the focus of projects, when they're making decisions, sometimes you have to make quite snap decisions where you'll have a view on perhaps, you know, a suitable time to mint. And I think there's an element of conviction here as well. And I know talking to a number of projects where perhaps they've had a week or two of bearish activity in the broader market, you almost have to block that out and say, what is the longer vision we're building for? And actually block out short-term, you know, market turbulence and so on. And I think that's another aspect of a good and true project that has a good vision, I think can see beyond that and will make a success. And also in some cases will make significant U-turns based on community feedback or their own sense of the market's conditions. And so I think that's a powerful...
Your sound just got rugged.
Yeah, I thought it had. Yeah, everything just went quiet. So I don't know. I was kind of building up to a sort of verbal crescendo around the right time and using the right, if you like, elements of thought in the market. So I don't know how long you lost me for. But at that point, it probably feels like a good point to remind folks listening. If you want to sort of step up and speak, we'd love to hear from you. I can see a number of familiar faces, a number of new faces as well. The format that we run every week is an open debate. We absolutely love hearing from, you know, people who have got first-hand project experience or have their thoughts as people that are, you know, investing in the space, or indeed just a new observer who's come into the market. You know, well, obviously, the discussion this week is around the keys to success in a successful NFT project startup. So it'd be good to hear from the audience. Great to see my friends there from Space Trip, who had a very pleasant spaces with last week, and they are obviously a very pivotal day for those guys. I'm sure you have some thoughts on development. In fact, why not just throw this last piece in? For me, another key element of success for a project is to have a clear vision. Lots of projects will come into the space. Some will have a very if you like, a jokey angle. Other ones will have a DeFi angle. Other ones may be very much about building a game or building a metaverse experience. So you've got that long-term view. And some projects, so I'm picking on my friends here, have an environmental focus. And I think it's fantastic that if you've got something that absolutely focuses your project and is a very clear mission statement, then I think that's a great starting point as well for future success. That kind of people know what you stand for and therefore are comfortable about what they should or potentially should not be investing in. I don't know if my sound's just gone again,
It sounds all right.
Excellent. Yes. So, that was really my kind of next point. So if anyone wants to step up and join the throng, give us your thoughts on your own sort of project building experiences, or importantly, because we could turn this question around, areas perhaps where projects, and we'd have to name them, so it's not that sort of space, perhaps have failed in their abilities to successfully launch. What are the ingredients that perhaps have been lacking in some of the projects that you've seen? Or indeed would like to see more of to make a better success of them.
Yeah, and keeping in mind we're overlapping with another space that seems to be quite a large one. So typically a lot of our like regular audience may be taken away by that. We it was kind of a topic that we sort of wanted to stay away from a little bit. So yeah, it's interesting, but you know, welcome. Yeah, awesome to have you up.
Excellent. So just introducing another speaker. And today we've got two more speakers, a familiar speaker as well in Journey to 24. But first of all, this happens sometimes. So I did actually accept a speaker up, but they seem to have dropped back off again. So please do try and re-request. I did actually.
Stuck on connecting.
Hi, guys.
Not to worry, but I can see Journey to 24. The floor is yours, sir.
Hi, guys. Hope you're having a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no, it's a great evening.
since no one was speaking, I came to the stage. So initially, my first NFT experience was in Terra. I think it's better not to mention the project. Actually, I got into the project specifically due to the quality of the images they had. At that time, I didn't have much experience on the NFT, and as the time passed by and I got the experience and the knowledge on the NFTs, what I understood about NFTs was like the NFTs is, in my opinion, more or less a kind of identity card or a membership card to some kind of a community. So when considering the quality of the NFT or the image that we have, it's more or less like having a membership card which is built on plastic, or maybe a membership card built on metal which is shiny and you can show it to people and boast about that. But the actual utility in an NFT comes from the community and the benefits that the membership or the identity card that we have. So just wanted to add that to the community.
Oh, no, that's a really great point. I think ultimately, yeah, one particular aspect that really stands out in a lot of projects is it's almost like the key to a club, like you say, a membership card. And we've seen a lot of people almost, yeah, there's an element of the value in the art, but also the value in actually having the NFT opening up to you to a community that's building. And has, if you like, a common purpose. It's that kind of human instinct and desire to be part of a tribe. So it goes back to, you know, the kind of ancient sense of belonging, which I think is really important. And I think, again, obviously I won't push you on the project that you perhaps had a less successful experience in. I've had several terrible experiences in projects. But I think you buy in on a number of factors, and certainly I would agree in my case. One of the ones I do look at is the strength of the community. And actually, is it something I want to be part of? And I'm proud to be part of a number of different communities as a result of owning, if you like, the entry card to the club. So I can certainly relate to that. I think we lost another speaker as well. There's definitely an issue with rugging. Sorry, Simon, do you want to jump in?
No, space is a bit funny though. I want to shout out to Lil Games. Good to have you on, And Yorp, if you're having issues with sound and you still want to speak, just try jump up. It's a bit of a pest sometimes, Twitter Spaces. I hope Elon fixes it, as we say it every week. But yeah, just to revamp kind of what we're talking about this week is around what are the key projects of success in a startup project, but that could also extend to what are some of the key points of failure maybe in new NFT projects as well. So
And it's really great to see Yaupster has made it up to the stage. I think there were some connectivity issues there. So welcome your thoughts and welcome to the stage.
Hey, Super Terra, what's going on, Simon? How are you guys? That one, that rug there was not Elon's fault. We regularly have Twitter space interruption issues, but that one was on my end, to be honest. I walked from a different Wi-Fi to the other side of my house. Has a huge, stupid, like, fireplace that blocks the Wi-Fi. So I literally have to have two different Wi-Fis from my house. Anyways, something that Super Terra mentioned that wanted to touch on. I really like the topic of discussion today. And I feel like I have a few things to add value in this conversation, if I may. But the first would be, I think one thing that we're seeing right now is we're seeing a little bit of a retracement in the utility discussions amongst NFT projects. So you talked about, like, a lot of them are like your key to get it into a community. And I think that is important. Humans really need that connectivity, the human connection, creating a place that they feel is theirs. But I also would take that a step further. And I feel like as we start seeing this NFT world open up more and NFT creators becoming more bold, we'll see more in real life events and in real life communities come together utilizing NFT technology. And this is where I'm actually very passionate about, because I think that we are kind of in an echo chamber of sorts on crypto Twitter specifically, and even further niche down into the NFT world. And then you get into Luna and Terra and different blockchain specific NFTs, you really have these echo chambers that are kind of hard to get out of and get past. And so NFT projects that look to cross that bridge between real life utility and technology backed by the blockchain confirming their ownership are going to see a real front running in the next phase, the next bull market. Because again, we're in a little bit of a lull and a pullback, and though the builders are going to keep building, and they're going to find ways to bring real utility, real value, not just another Discord. I mean, no offense to some artists. I mean, there's obviously definitely a lot of projects that have really great art, and that alone can be enough to, you know, to mint for me particularly. I'm an art collector, right? But for the vast majority of the masses, I think that is not case. So think about the actual target market of quote unquote art collectors that can not only afford but also want to buy NFTs just purely on the basis of the art itself. That is a niche, that is a very, very small pool. And I think that projects that, again, I'll want to hear what you guys think about this, because I think projects that bring IRL in real life utility to the blockchain are going to be leading the charge overall.
I personally agree, and it's really interesting because I haven't spoken to Simon about this yet, but potentially next week's discussion will be bringing in a number of projects that are trying to, if you like, cross that divide between the virtual and the physical, because I'm having a number of conversations at the moment with some very interesting projects that want to bring out that real world utility. And there's some great examples. We're seeing some fantastic groundwork being done with some musical related opportunities as one example, but also that kind of merchandise crossover and that sense of a physical belonging to an actual tangible club where, as you rightly say, and I do agree, the creators want to meet and interact, and certainly I myself am looking forward to more of that going forwards. That kind of if you like, that kind of in real life reveal. And that's obviously beyond NFTs. But if we come back to NFTs, I think the utility, and I've seen some recent projects, not necessarily in Terra, but talking about the raises will allow you to have exclusive rights and access to certain physical benefits that the club will effectively own, if you like, as part of its DAO activities. And I think we'll see that in Terra in time as the liquidity in the space grows and the general kind of capital inflows increase to an extent that some of these projects can stretch to kind of bigger ambitions, shall we say. But I think you make a really good point, because I think ultimately that human desire to belong, absolutely we relate to it. And I think you're right. The Discords are good to one extent. And I often bring out the point that I am maxed out on my Discords, and I have to do a one in, one out rule now because I am maxed out. And it's hard to sustain a lot of those community interactions. There has to be something that really draws you in, and whether it's an interesting discussion thread that kind of links that community together, and it has to be well beyond that mint. And I think going back to your early statement, really, as we go into a downturn, the builders absolutely continue to build. And what we do as well is, for me, I think we're in sort of phase two of NFT growth and adoption. And what I mean by that is we've had that early stage where perhaps art or something non-tangible but appealing is enough. And we're now moving into, there's a lot of projects out there and people are saying, well, art's not enough. There needs to be something more. What is it you're building for? What's your long-term plan? What's your vision? What's your utility beyond that initial launch? And maybe there's an element of cynicism as well, because we are seeing some Me Too type projects where you see the art style, you think, well, I've kind of seen that on Solana before, for example. And the questions are starting to be asked, and these have been happening for a few months in Terra. But last point, and I'll sort of let Simon and others jump in, is you made a really good point there, because the echo chambers that we all live in, and I make a conscious effort, despite my username, to be looking well beyond Terra for inspiration, ideas, and general opportunities of what makes not just NFTs, but the broader DeFi space better. And there is a danger, though, that if we're all looking at the same thing, we all design a faster horse. It's that old adage, isn't it? How do we kind of break the mold and create something new? But I always go back to communities at the heart, and just to round the point off, the physical overlap will massively enrich the community. I've only really had a handful of face-to-face interactions in my time in this particular Terra space. But when I have, my God, the conversations flow in so many tangents and directions. It's amazing. It's just a smorgasbord of opportunity. And I think projects that really are willing to lift their heads above the parapet, meet their audiences, will be rewarded in so many different and enriching ways.
I have a question. So this is my first Spaces with you guys. So thanks for having it.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to have you. Yep.
I'm not sure on the rules here, so I apologize if I overstep.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, you guys mentioned, IRL projects or projects that, do IRL are going to be the ones that succeed, or in the future, that's what you're thinking the vision is. Do you have examples of ones that do that already? I'm just kind of curious to see, good examples, to see if there's something to emulate or whatnot, take inspiration from.
No, it's a good challenge. I think Yorpster put it to Simon and myself. Now, so I was sort of waiting for Simon to sort of jump in and give his own views as well. But I mean, in terms of what I've seen so far, relatively limited direct exposure that I've had to, if you like, you're in real life crossover, just because the relative nature of the chain that I'm mostly involved in, and it's great to have you here, by the way, is the Terra blockchain. And that is relatively, I wouldn't say nascent, I want to stop using the word nascent, because the NFT space has been going for about sort of 8-9 months now, and it's starting to show signs of a first stage of maturity. What I mean by that is projects that absolutely nakedly are just after a quick rug and a mint and run are failing because people are seeing through it straight away, because the expectation now is there has to be something beyond that. That core excitement of the, wow, it's new and it's an NFT and it's on this space. It's got to be something bigger. But in terms of, Yaps to put it to us that, you know, the ones that really will succeed are the ones that almost like cross that bridge into in real life. And interesting, I'm not sure, obviously, how long you've been on the space before you stepped up. But for me, we're going to explore with a number of projects that are looking to do that with merchandise, opportunities to create music in one case of a project that I'm talking to at the moment. And the idea there is they're looking to create almost a lifestyle brand, of which the NFT element is almost like a kind of, you know, a badge of membership, a badge of involvement. I would say it's too early in the Terra space to say, here's an example of one that really does it well with the in real life, because I think we're too early. I've seen some, you know, obviously very prominent examples with Bored Apes and others doing face-to-face meetups, and that sense of community, that sense of club, the merchandise that supports it, and some of the secondary and tertiary activities that have taken place as a result. But I would sort of, you know, I'm going to throw it sort of back into the rest of the kind of speaker set for other examples that aren't a very obvious, you know, macro dominating project. Although I will point out, as I often do, that project's only been going for just over a year. But yes, I think the idea, and it's a very good teaser in there to get us thinking from Yowster, was that the projects that will really succeed are the ones that almost break, for the better expression, that fourth wall into real, you know, tangible face-to-face interactions beyond. I think as well, another one I'll just throw back in there is projects that really do create a genuinely immersive and enjoyable metaverse or gaming experience will also be the ones that will lead the way in the next 12 to 24 months. But they've got to be something that you want to do and want to play and want to immerse yourself in.
Sorry, I just have a follow-up question there. Do you feel like the brand or the NFTs that create a brand, create, you know, the in real life crossover, do you think that seeing the success is more of a, it takes 10 years to make success? Or do you, because what I'm seeing, again, this is a new space, but is that let's take some of the blue chips out, right? Because those are kind of, they're successful, and then not every NFT that emulates that is going to be as successful as them, right? But the ones that, you know, kind of are trying to do that crossover, do you see that they potentially are having a harder time having value or token value to their NFT, even with success and like the ball rolling to their long-term goals, that it just takes some time for them to actually have that ultimate success? I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does. Yes, I mean, essentially, to be a genuinely long-term successful project, it's very difficult to produce that overnight. It takes community building. It takes, in some cases, investment in the platform. If you're talking about, say, you know, gaming and so on, so I would argue absolutely that to create something that's long-term, sustainable, and successful, you've got to put in a lot of hard yards early on, build genuine engagement, genuine taking a group on a journey, if you like, and a larger group, because to be a successful, sustainable, long-term project, it needs more than just the core. One of the things that we've covered on a previous space is that perhaps both a success and a failure of some of the larger projects is when the floor prices go crazy, you automatically create a closed shop activity that makes it very hard for new people to come in and enjoy, and therefore makes it harder to scale. So, yeah, lots of questions in there. I totally understand. At least I think I do. So if my answer makes sense, hopefully I have understood.
No, that definitely does. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great to have you here. It's obviously, it's your first space with us, but this is entirely what we're about. We don't have all the answers. Simon and I sort of host these on a weekly basis. And we absolutely take a lot of enjoyment through having these kind of open discussions. So thank you very much for your thoughts. I guess just to flip it round before I kind of close off and hand to anyone else, what are your own thoughts, what you've seen so far in the NFT space as to what projects you consider to be a successful project at this stage and why? I mean, would you see that as a project that's building slowly and building in depth, or other factors that you've thought of?
For me personally, I'm still relatively new in the space. And, you know, for me, it makes sense to kind of play the long run, to look at projects and see kind of, you know, what is their long-term vision, then how are they following up on that? You know, where are they falling short? But in my perspective, I'm someone who wants to see the long vision play out. I understand that others are want that and also want immediate utility. But in my mind, you know, I come from a traditional space in terms of, you know, like traditional companies, and sometimes it just takes a long time to build. So I was curious to see kind of other people's thoughts on that.
No, of course. I mean, my very last thought on this, and I'll hand over to Simon, is I'm very much of the opinion that what I want to see and what I'm personally looking to build is something that's long-term sustainable. So it's not about an immediate sort of big bang. It's about a number of phases and that kind of momentum that builds up over time and with it a depth of community that follows. So I'll hand to Simon. You've been very patient. I'm sure you've got lots of thoughts.
There's a couple of pieces because there's quite a lot of questions here. Just on the last one, you know, obviously 10 years is a very, very long time in crypto and things move a lot faster than that. So I think, you know, something that's missing in the crypto space, and you're going to see this pop up probably quite heavily, probably already is on ETH. I haven't seen it so much on Terra, but you're going to start to see a lot more incubation happening from, you know, existing NFT projects or DAOs that look to incubate new NFT projects. Part of this is due to the fact that, you know, a lot of NFT founders aren't necessarily experienced in business. And at the end of the day, NFT project is still a business in shapes or forms. You still have to have the right structures and the marketing and everything in place, even if you run in a DAO structure. And this is crypto in general, actually. And I talk about this a lot with friends that are very successful in the traditional space. There's going to be a lot of opportunity to come into crypto from advisory roles and help. You know, crypto companies set up their structures in terms of hiring, in terms of staff, and in terms of kind of systems and the way they run. Even if they run almost as a DAO, you know, normal companies run they have people with different roles that do different things. They, you know, don't have three people that are running the marketing, the building, the everything, right? They have dedicated expert talent in their different fields. And I feel it's a little bit like, you know, maybe the dot-com boom where you originally had 8 people working in a bedroom on dev work, but then they actually, you know, then when the dot-com boom burst and it ended, you know, a lot of projects, you know, like started building over time, gradually over a period of years. And then they, you know, started hiring the right talent, the right marketing, and everything kind of changed. So I do see that as a perspective in terms of we're so new in crypto that, you know, the space is going to evolve a lot, and we're going to see a lot of experienced business owners, experienced NFT projects help to incubate new NFT projects. The second point is around, you talked about in real life, almost projects branching into crypto or utility from NFT project going into real life. I've been talking, you know, I've been sitting in on incubation calls and venture capital calls with a lot of, you know, some of them I won't really mention because, you know, I can't. But a lot of projects that are mainstream projects that are looking to get into crypto. So you're looking at a lot of successful, you know, not necessarily Web2, but I would say Web2, successful Web2 platforms or industries that are looking to get into Web3 and are looking to get into Terra. And you'll see a bit of this come very soon. There's a couple projects that maybe I can talk about, but I'm not really here to talk about specific projects. But you're looking at solutions to problems in the real world, utilizing NFTs to solve problems that are existing in the real world currently, and creative ways in which we can use NFTs to solve, you know, issues in a whole range of industries. So it's going to be very interesting the next couple of months to watch this kind of unfold and to watch more of this Web 2 to Web 3 integration, where more and more Web 2 brands or traditional brands are coming into crypto and using NFTs to solve issues that are existing in the normal space. So I'm very excited. I may be able to drop more details around this, but I thought I would just open that up and say that there's definitely a wave of real world utility coming.
Excellent. I look forward to hearing more about that as well. I think it's very exciting that crossover, as you say, rightly between Web 2, Web 3. There's a lot of traditional companies that are very keen to get into this space, and I'd love to hear more. We've just had, Gremlins on the line again, just trying to accept Randall, who's a regular speaker. We've not had you on for a couple of weeks, but lovely to see you here. And hopefully it looks like you're up and running now.
Hello, thank you for having me. Sorry, I got out of a very long meeting for an hour and 45 minutes. Appreciate the patience. I hope I'm not late to the party, as that is kind of the record right now for me.
That's quite all right. Always welcome. Always welcome. So yeah, we've been having a really good discussion around what makes a successful, what are the keys really to a successful NFT project? And then we've branched out some really interesting tangents around the opportunities to cross over between in real life projects into NFTs and vice versa. And some really good, interesting debate points around what does the future look like, really? Because obviously we're all aware, even in the more, if you like, advanced projects, we're still at the very early stages of development and building in general terms, 1 year, 2 years max in some of the most mature projects.
Hey, so I did have some comments back on Simon. So he's basically leaking/hinting that he has some alpha on some IRL NFT projects coming up. So that's interesting. So you said that next week there'll be more of a highlight on those. So I don't want to steal any thunder and like bring up any projects that I think fit this category now, but she did ask that what I have in mind as far as some projects that I've seen that are trying to bring IRL utility. I think there's a couple of different categories. There's these projects that are leaders in their respective blockchains that have such a massive community and momentum that they now are in a position to essentially become incubators, like Simon was saying, and smart leaders in those groups and those NFT projects are turning to NFT or turning to IRL meetups and events and use cases. And so there's that category of like pre-existing NFTs that have momentum, have market share, have a dominance in the space, whatever blockchain they may be on, and are using that to launch other projects, incubators of sort, whether they're their own sub project or simply just helping other artists bring on board. And that's awesome. I love the team building aspect of that. However, there is another category that I'm more passionate about, and that's the people that are building from the ground up with the specific goals of bridging this gap of in real life utility and NFTs versus a second afterthought or incubator. And then there's definitely room for both. But I think that distinction is important. When you're looking at a project that has a directive, has a goal, has a vision, has a roadmap, and that is all revolving around bringing utility to a real world person. And for me, this is important because I'm trying to bring my friends and family into crypto, guys. So like, it's hard for me to go to people and be like, hey, mint this NFT. And they're like, well, what do I get? Is it an investment? Is it going to go up? Or you get to join a Discord. It's like, what's Discord? So like, that is obviously a showstopper, right? Like a complete showstopper. And it doesn't matter like how cool the game might be in the future. If it's not a playable game right now, like actually right now, think about like the instant gratification of most people. They are not going to mint an NFT in the hopes of having a game to play with that NFT. Now, the investors and the forward thinkers and the people that are long-term have that opportunity to step in and say, oh, I see the value in this. I see gaming as, a funnel of bringing mass adoption to NFTs. I'm willing to invest in this. I'm willing to sit it out and wait, mint this NFT and wait for the developers, as long as I'm finding the correct, getting behind the teams that are really passionate about that. Again, going back to like finding teams that are specific, goal-oriented, they are not pulled in different directions, like, you know, some of these projects that are just kind of thrown together and happen to get really popular, and now they are in a position to use that position of power and market dominance to branch out into other things. That's cool. That's great. But those projects that are clearly defined from the beginning that they are trying to tackle mass adoption, they're trying to bring this technology to your friends and family that are totally against or totally ignorant, quote unquote, to crypto. Like, not ignorant in a bad way. They're just, they don't know. They don't know what they don't know. And they refuse to spend the time to learn because it doesn't provide them any real use case that they perceive. Like, yes, everyone has a use case, quote unquote, but like perceived use case is very important. So what is the perceived use case of an NFT that's a profile picture to the masses? So I think that's important in this discussion that, and I did have one other topic that I brought up that Super Terra mentioned about sustainability, and Terra, specifically Anchor Protocol, I think offers a massive, massive tool to sustainable income source for projects that create a DAO and mint and have funds set aside. They don't have to be reliant or coupled to the market per se. They can sustainably set their money aside in an Anchor Protocol or some such similar relatively stable, safe environment, and then have a sustainable growth projection and a way to actually meet those key points on their roadmap. So yeah, those are some of my thoughts. I see his hand, I'll let him go.
So Randall, if you want to step up, I can see you got your hand up.
Yeah, sure. Great input, y'all. Sorry, I don't know if that's the way you pronounce it, but I think I can address one part. I can address both, but to start with, when it comes to mass adoption, the problem is that not so much us, but I think in general, every project or pretty much everyone involved in this space are trying to do mass adoption where it's seamless, right? And seamless and convenience has always been like the push to get people on board, which is great, but they're entering a space which is just too foreign. And by too foreign, I mean, you know, you have to understand security in this space. You have to understand what it means to you yourself practice that security as an individual, not so much like, you know, it's not like investing in a stock where we've gone through it. And even then there's security issues. But when it comes to this, because you're an individual, you're in charge of your own, you know, you're in charge of your NFT and so on, your investments, and there's so much being leveraged there, you need to pay attention and educate yourself on security, but also like how to navigate through this space, what to look out for, you know, red flags, green flags, and so on. Like, what are the perceived possibilities, the use cases that you can do? I mean, what could you do with your NFT? Is it just profile picture? Is it going to be a game and so on? And do you really want to be a part of that? The biggest problem here is like how we're communicating it is just like, oh, we're making it easier for you to, you know, get a MetaMask or get a wallet and then get a wallet set up and then go buy some ETH or buy Terra, whatever it may be, buy any type of coin and then go mint your NFT. It's that seamless. But no, it shouldn't be that easy. This is not about, you know, trying to make it convenient. You have to educate people first, then give them the convenience. And if you don't do that, then by all means, no one's going to adopt it easily. And a lot of people that are going to come and adopt it are going to get discouraged. We already saw people who have been in this space get discouraged from something that was happening. And that was because lack of communication and proper, thorough communication of what is going to happen. And by that, I'm speaking about other land or whatever they call it, other side. A lot of people were pissed off because they lost more money in gas than they lost in anything else. I mean, this gas money doesn't go to the project, so it's just money that's been thrown out there now. Of course, it's a service being provided, but then again, you know, you're already spending X amount on an NFT. So getting people involved, getting them hyped up, it's all great. Adopting it is all great, but communication is always lacking. There's always this gap in it. Like, you're not telling the full story, and you need to understand that people have to go through this process of getting, you know, fully confident in what they're doing in this space, not just coming in because it's popular. Like, there are people that, you know, still don't want to do certain things in real life because, yes, it's popular, but it's not for them. And maybe it scares them a little. So how do we remove that sense of fear? Because fear is what's going to drive the space for bad investments, for rug pulls, for people to come in and just encourage them to, you know, come in and scam people. It's so easy. And then disappear. No one's going to chase you, right? We have to encourage people to really pay attention and push for policies or push for more securities. Make it a bit harder for people to enter. And then people actually learn that, you know, it is important to pay attention to everything you do, everything you even say, the places you invest your money in. So that's one aspect of it for the masses. With regards to sustainability, yes, it's absolutely right. Like, you want to rely on a blockchain, but if you are leveraging your entire project, your entire motive, your entire business, essentially, and vision towards the blockchain, I would think twice, because there are ways to do certain things. And I'm not like speaking because I'm on ETH. I mean, I'm on the worst one amongst the many, right? Just beside Bitcoin in terms of sustainability. But there are sustainable ways to launch a project. There are sustainable ways to ensure that, like, you know, the way you utilize what you have with regards to how gas fees work, for example, or the amount of, you know, times people can mint. You have to be conscious. Like, I know it's not the most popular opinion out there, but if you are concerned about it and you are saying that it is part of your pillars, let's say, for your project, then address it. Address it that way. Like, don't allow 10K to be minted in one night. You know, focus on how you can do it in phases. Break it up where you do phase one for OG people, and that's a limited role, right? You can spread it out and make it a bit easier. So that way you're tackling it in your own way and not just leveraging it on hoping like Ethereum 2.0, for example, is going to solve all of that, or hoping for XRP or any other blockchain to come up with some solution for you. Because you have to adapt before they try to adapt. I mean, don't wait for them to adapt. Adapt yourself and then move on to the next. Move on to the stage where they're adapting with you. If we don't push for better ways of working, then how are we going to show a sense of urgency? Are we going to wait for governments to do that? I mean, we've been waiting for governments to sort out our shit, but they've just been screwing it up over and over again. Right? So those are my two cents.
Thank you. I think, yeah, education is really important. And I think breaking down those barriers that will ultimately lead to mass adoption, there's a lot of steps to be had on that journey. But I think, yeah, lots of very good points there. I'm just conscious we've got a couple more speakers that have kindly stepped up. You've both had hands up for some time. I do apologize. I didn't see whose hand went up first. So in terms of my screen, I've got Homestead on the left and then Digital on the right. If we go to Homestead first, and the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. I guess I don't really have a lot to add. I had raised my hand before Randall spoke to kind of add on to what Yopster said, but I think both of them kind of drew my point as clearly as possible. I would say for driving mass adoption, for bringing in the new people, what is going to inspire them about a project, right? You're asking them to spend money on something, and ultimately there's a promise of something else or not. And that goes back to what Randall was saying with communication and marketing your project appropriately, having a clear idea of how you're going to market your project before you actually start marketing it at all. I come from this with a narrow window of just being in the Cosmos NFT space. So I see a lot of the very new projects in that space and how they're doing that. And a lot of projects seem to launch and then have a little pullback as they try and figure out what they're actually wanting to be or do. So that really speaks a lot to what Randall had just said, is having that figured out so you can communicate it and market it clearly right away and build that following that is going to believe the message and, again, feel inspired for whatever it is that you are marketing to them, whether it's just a PFP, whether it's a game with a chance to earn, whether it's a DAO or something bigger that's trying to do something more than just be a game or a gamified Discord or something like that. You still have to be able to communicate that and show how you're doing that. And again, like I said, you're asking people to spend their money, their crypto on this. You have to give them reason to be inspired, even if it's just, hey, you might make some crazy gains like some of these OpenSea things that have been happening. That inspires people, right? So I guess that's my thought on how projects will have a successful launch and how this space keeps getting driven forward is the marketing and the inspiration that you're conveying to people, conveying to the consumer. So that's my thought.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I think absolutely. And also I think importantly, to ensure it's sustainable, it's the marketing matches the experience as well, which I think is always a challenge to get those two aligned. But no, I think that's really good. Thank you very much. So digital, apologies, I'm going to get your... So Digital Chill, great second part. My screen truncates everything, but Digital Chill, you've been incredibly patient. The floor is yours.
Hi, everyone. I hope everyone is having a wonderful day. I just saw this topic up here, and I thought it was really, really informative. What's up, y'all? Yeah, I saw up here, so I didn't know, talk to them because, you know, one of my intelligent friends that I found through these spaces. But my biggest thing that I love what everyone is saying, especially when it comes to the onboarding of these new projects and stuff, even if it doesn't have any utility, because, you know, at least for GameFi and DeFi, it's been a very sad promise that people have been, you know, over-promising, even the biggest games right now. And biggest DeFi, like, supposed companies are kind of failing because their ROI and promises are not, you know, working so well, especially, you know, everyone is just throwing NFT this and NFT that. Its marketing is great, but a lot of these NFT projects are very lazy with it. Their marketing is more giveaways. So I've seen more NFT companies actually do stealth. Opening, so no marketing, no nothing, and I think that's what's going to happen, you know, continuously, because a lot of these followers and a lot of these groups, you know, are surrounded by money and just inflated. It's kind of sad because, like, when you want to launch an NFT or a product, you know, for these persons, no matter what it is, if it's for metaverse, if it's for physical or some sort, you're warped because, like, there's going to be an insurmountable amount of people, since the whole culture on YouTube has, you know, really shaped how NFTs are. Like, everyone just comes in this facility to flip. And it is just sad because, like, for me, I got into the space to see wonderful projects, because this is the first time where people don't understand you can invest into almost anything globally with no, you know, red tape. Because, you know, if you're in the Bahamas, if you're in Jamaica, if you're, you know, South America, you're not going to be able to invest in this certain exchanges like US and stuff. You're just buying. So I love the fact that, you know, NFTs have crazy utility, but not to, like, really get off topic. It's just, I understand that people need to market these NFTs and have many, like, use cases. But what have been the best things you've seen through, you know, a startup project for people? Like, because I've seen NFTs that I might consider useless. I'm not really an R-type person, but it's, you know, great for others. So I feel like there's enough ideas out there, you know, for you to find your subcategory. And that's why I've gotten really deep into the gaming field. Because I started with DeFi, but DeFi and the DeFi NFTs is kind of throwing me off. So I was like, you know what, let me let DeFi kind of figure itself out first before I get into another protocol. And, you know, at least for me personally, I've seen, I guess, the least amount of rugs that I've seen personally has been in gaming, which is kind of sad, to be honest. I thought I would expect it more from DeFi when it comes to NFTs and stuff, but they're just putting it out there. So when you want to start, I realize from me coming from these different categories, is just having a really, really, I mean, you can't really have a solid team, because if you're in this space by yourself, you just build. At least start. And I understand what Hume was saying about the marketing and stuff. Sometimes it's just better to start and figure it out, because you don't know what you can do in a space, because I feel like Web3 is limitless. And a lot of different NFTs are doing different things. You know, people staking NFTs, people are holding NFTs to be able to get another NFT, like a founder's edition. So there's many different use cases that I've seen. There's NFTs that I have where I get passive income from casinos. So if you're starting out, just start and figure it out personally. That's how I see it. Because like, if I ever want to start an NFT, at least you can shape yourself as you go. But like you said, a lot of people within the space look for more for the money, and they don't really care about the project as much. Because like what was Randall saying, a lot of people are here just rug pulling all of these new people. I haven't experienced a rug ever since I've been in this space for like last like year. But I've just only look at projects. Unfortunately, with the NFT space now, it's kind of counterintuitive, where you're trying to, you know, invest in this like decentralized platform, but now you have to be doxed and all of the other stuff in KYC because the culture is so much rug pulling and such. So, yeah, I just want to say a little something. But Simon, you go.
I wanted to add something that maybe a lot of people don't actually talk about. And it's actually touching on one of your points, which is about experimenting and doing different things, especially when you're mixing kind of NFTs and DeFi. I think there's one danger that isn't actually really talked about enough because of kind of how fast the space moves. But that's the danger of regulation. I can't remember the word for it, but, you know, digging back into the past. Whenever you're mixing finances and you're mixing staking and you're mixing NFTs and you're mixing all these things, I think it's really important to be super aware and have good legal advice and teams for what you're doing, because it's not talked about very much. You know, you could be an NFT, you know, project founder who experiments with things, and maybe you don't have that much business experience or don't have teams of lawyers or any of those stuff like this. And in 2 to 3 years, it could always come back to bite you in terms of some of the things you do. So that is one thing that I think isn't actually talked about or looked at quite a lot. And it's really hard because of how gray the regulation area is. But I think it is a very, very important piece to look at as well, because structuring things the right way so that doesn't come back to bite you is definitely a thing. Secondly, I think it also depends on the ecosystem that you're in, because if you're quite across ETH, many of the guys in here, actually, we've got quite a varied space, but you know, SuperTerra and us and myself and a few others in this call are actually quite big across Terra and Cosmos, and it is slightly different in terms of the marketing of projects, especially due to how kind of new the space is, the NFT spaces in Terra and Cosmos. We don't have as much saturation issues that maybe ETH and some of those layer two chains have. Where they've got, you know, so many projects launching. So they have to, you know, get more creative with their marketing. And the issue that you get is that some projects start over-promising and hyping and doing all this sort of stuff because they need to find ways to cut through the, to obviously cut through the noise, but they end up, you know, not necessarily executing on those ideas. So there's a few pieces there for sure. And I think it's quite different on Terra and Cosmos in terms of that as well. But it is interesting, and you raise some very interesting points. So, yeah.
It's just me, you know, really going through this whole industry, because, you know, I started with cryptocurrency and I went into DeFi, you know, just me learning the space. And then I just went to oracles. I just kept looking. And the blockchains that I've really been loving personally when it comes to NFTs, like what you were saying, is Solana. Like, Solana's NFTs are absolutely insane and Wax. So if I would always tell people my advice, like, Solana and Wax are like the gaming, like, NFTs that collab with you know, like Hot Wheels, AMC theaters. It's quite a bit between, and Wax is the green blockchain, and it's relatively cheap. But I love the fact that you all talked about Terra and Cosmos. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about Terra and Cosmos other than, you know, Terra's UST anchor protocol thing. But how is that space when it comes to the new, like, aspects? Because I feel like there's a particular trend when it comes to NFT releases depending on the blockchain. Because, you know, I tell people ETH NFTs, that's whales. That's just whale games right there. I'm not dealing with that. But the ones that I've really liked was, you know, the Solana Wax, like I said, and I've been in crypto.com NFTs because I'm really close with them as well. But if Terra and Cosmos are relatively new, I'm just very curious on what each platform is going to provide. But what are your thoughts on about the new NFT projects on Terra and Cosmos?
So Digital Chill, I'll take that for a second real quick, because I think you followed me in here. I remember I've met with you over there at MetaOps, right, which is your PFP. So it's really nice to have you come over from Solana. And just real quick on them, not to shill, but just to let you know, I did mention earlier that I'm bullish on projects that have a playable game. MetaOps is actually a playable game right now. You go buy their NFT, you can go play their first-person shooter live right now. So I won't really get into that. You guys can research them on your own time, but that is an example of an NFT game that is live that you can play. But to Digital Chill's question, Cosmos is growing exponentially. We have several blockchains popping out that are legitimately actually 100% dedicated to NFTs, to NFT marketplaces, to games, to transferring those NFTs, IBC. So it is actually a relatively new and like legit, like one of the blockchains I'm thinking of right now is Stargaze, and they don't have an actual secondary market yet. They've been minting NFTs for several months now, and they just hinted on their main account they're going to be launching the secondary market, the marketplace, here in the next week or two. So that's exciting. But over here on Terra, there's like several NFT marketplaces with quite a few NFTs projects already launched. And the same goes for over there in the Cosmos, and in specifically Secret Network has quite a few NFT projects already over there. The marketplace over there is Stash App with two H's. So I will highlight them real quick because I'm bullish on Secret NFTs for a number of real life utilities. Like we were talking about earlier, is having this bridge between real life NFTs and use cases. They offer a unique use case in the privacy aspect. So they have metadata. Secret Network is privacy by default, so you kind of have to like unlock that to even view the NFT. So the actual old verbiage of right-click save can actually legitimately be disproven on Secret Network, because you were able to actually have a secondary image hidden behind, and only the person with the wallet that actually signs that transaction can view it. So there's some powerful use cases, potential use cases there. One of them I'll highlight right now. I did not mint them, so this is not a shill. This is just an example. Beach Bumps is over there on Stash App. I was interested in them because I have a master's degree in entrepreneurial real estate and did a lot of commercial real estate pre Web3 life. And they are offered a unique way to kind of bridge that real life utility with an NFT. So they bought a small condo building in Mexico. And right on the beach in a particular like surf town, quote unquote. And I'm not a big surfer, and this is probably the only reason why I didn't mint them. If I had any inkling to surf, I probably would have minted. But the NFTs get you access to that that beach house and use of their surfboards. So that is an extremely unique, very niche down way to bridge real life utility with NFTs. Excuse me. So yeah, just thought that I'd throw that out there.
So basically,
like a full example of Cosmos. I'll let someone else take that.
No, that's totally fine. I just wanted to know. So basically, I'm in the wrong neighborhood. No, I'm just messing around. I just really love what everyone is talking about. It's just like all the issues. Just it's great to see that there's so much like-minded people just saying, you know, having their own home base. You know, that's awesome, because like every blockchain has its own unique community and stuff. So I'm glad to meet some of the Cosmos and Terra people. You know, I don't know what they represent yet. Maybe Solana, I don't know. But it's just really cool to see about these topics that are being talked about. And so what I've seen, all of these like use cases. So it's kind of hard to say,
you know, what is the actual key to success? Because they're branding, there's art, there's ones that give you passive income for casinos. Like I said, the one that I have is, you know, Fasan Vegas. And, you know, they have two casinos, one at Sandbox and one at the Central Line. And, you know, gambling is always a big thing. And since Corona, you know, the gamblers need to gamble and they don't want to be around that area, so they could just do it at home. So I just thought it was a really good idea and it's just been doing great. So I just feel like these use cases are just going to get more crazy and crazy. And it just depends on the market and demand for whatever type of product that you want to put out there. So it's just having, I think probably the most important part to have a successful NFT is a good leader, a blockchain developer, and a great artist or like art style, because I've seen some ugly art but it made quite a bit, right? So it's kind of hard to scale. Like, what is everyone like goals on, not really goals, but what are your insights on you finding a good project personally? Because some of these projects seem a little far-fetched, but some of them have been executing really well and I'm like really shocked. And that's what I really love about Web3. Like, people are actually bringing forth their passion projects where we couldn't do in Web2 because there's too much red tape by these bigger corporations. And you just, you know, it's kind of almost like a crowdsourcing for the next generation of companies. So I really like that.
Thanks. Lots to take in there. I think for me personally, what I look for is, yeah, the art has to be reasonable. that's the starting point. If the art's poor, and I've seen lots of projects where the art's poor, I don't look any further. And then personally, and obviously not everyone does this, I look at the utility behind the project. I look at the roadmap and say, is it believable? Is it achievable? Is it sustainable? And the most important part for me, though, is I look at the community. And obviously, you know, great to have you on this Spaces, Digital Chill. And there'll probably be tools like this in other chains as well. But within Terra, we have a lot of, if you like, self-mobilizing groups that will assess the different projects and almost come to a community consensus of, would you mint or would you not? Yeah, would you invest or would you not? And I'm not swayed by the herd, but I'll use that as a bit of a barometer for, is there a red flag around a project? And should it be something I should be wary of? So, yeah, I do like listen to community opinion.
Because I think just that, had a genius
idea. Sorry, Simon, go on.
I just want to cut in before that, forget about that. I had a genius idea. He said, would you mint or would you not? What if we started a Tinder for NFTs?
Yes.
That's brilliant.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I love that. And I'd not even thought of, this is what I love about these spaces. We go on all sorts of different angles and tangents. So that's great. That's actually very, very good idea. I mean essentially the examples I've seen, I write a lot of articles about projects and get people's, you know, views on their thoughts on them. But there's a project called Wrecked Wolf, and they have within their Discord, and they, obviously, you know, we talked about further expansion to other communities. Discords are probably not something that's native to non-crypto people, but you'll have someone review a project and then other people will rate it. You know, would you mint, would you not? A kind of simple thumbs up, thumbs down, swipe left, swipe right for crypto. So yeah, I mean, but ultimately, obviously what we're trying to do here is you get a gauge and you think, well, if 90% of the community say they're going to mint, you think there's something in that. And that then supports my own view of would I invest or not? If 70% of the community wouldn't, it's a red flag. And then you dig further and you try and understand why, and you either mint or you stay away. Sometimes I've actually minted projects knowing full well that it's not a value decision. It's because they're doing, say, a charity support, or they're trying to raise funds for something. And I think it's a genuinely noble cause. And there are such things in this space. So that's also a factor. But I think community utility and art, because if the art's garbage, and I've seen some shockers, I'm sure we all have on this. And I love it when the apologists are going, it's amazing. I'm looking at you, no, it's really not. A five-year-old could have done better. But obviously, you're not going to say that because, you know, but you sort of, it's really funny. Art is a very subjective medium anyway, but I've seen some shockers. And it is subjective. And some of the stuff I love, other people hate. But even I can sometimes tell that that's just a stick man. So we will see. So hopefully Digital Chill, that helps. That's my thoughts. Hand it over to someone else. I can see Yaps just got your hand up as well.
I was just going to go back to something that I think Randall had talked about or mentioned a little bit, or maybe it was Simon, I can't remember, but about, well, first of all, we need to define success. So we haven't even had a discussion about that yet. So what is success to you in your NFT project? Well, that depends on your goals. I mean, that could be very, very subjective. It could be, mass adoption focused, and that's your goal, and you're trying to bring as many people to the blockchain. It could be a game, a successful working game. It could be a set. I think a lot of people right now are kind of using the floor price as a gauge of success. And I think that's a very rudimentary way to judge the overall success or even at all gauge an overall success of any NFT project. However, that's kind of what we have to go on at the moment on a very shallow level. So one thing I will comment on how I think the floor price can be not manipulated, but can be protected by projects, new projects that are launching. And that is, I think, is very, very important to carefully design your mint process. We've seen some absolute blunders. Like we mentioned, the other side spent over $179 million in gas, totally, absolutely wasted. If they had even spent at any time modifying and their contract, there's many that have said that could have been easily reduced with any minor modifications in performance to their contract. So there's rumors saying that they did that on purpose to kind of force the hand of the community to push them into their own blockchain, which I'm all for that as a Cosmos person. I think any multi-chain future is positive. So that aside, not trying to make it a Bored Ape Yacht Club topic, but that as an example, the mint can be very carefully designed by the team. And I think the more we get into the space, the more unique ways and approaches we'll have on this. But I would be so bold to say that a one-time shot, especially on ETH where the gas is very, very expensive, a one-time shot at minting and everything goes and you mint and you might spend 10 ETH in gas alone and might not get anything, that's obviously a terrible time. Like, do it in phases. There's so many different ways. Do it with I'm not pro whitelist. So to be clear, I'm not like, I don't really like the whole whitelist insider group kind of thing. Kind of goes against the decentralized ethos of the blockchain in my mind. And so there's that with the whitelist. I think that creators should consider not being too worried. I know this is difficult when you're a creator and you're minting and you're trying to raise those funds, essentially as Digital Chill says, we're becoming, the NFT space is essentially a decentralized crowdsourcing venue. But I think people need to be more patient and not so worried about minting out immediately, because this will actually, I would encourage a slow mint. I would actually like to see a slow mint, because that means that the people that are buying that mint or buying that NFT are actually the ones that have considered it, are not really worried about the hype and it's minted out in minutes or whatever. And, days later, it's still minting and available. That's not a bad sign to me. In fact, I might take a closer look at it just because I think there's a lot of flippers. There's a lot of liquidity vampires of sorts that are minting real quick, throwing them on OpenSea or whatever the blockchain's specific marketplace is, and trying to make that quick buck. And that is not good for your project. If you're the creator of the project, you don't want to see that. First of all, you might say, oh yeah, you get some revenues, some royalties on the secondary. Well, that's true, but you're also leaving money on the table for yourself. So I'd rather you set your mint higher and let those that really truly believe in your vision and your project to mint and keep those flippers at bay in a way. And then you end up with a larger pool of long-term holders who really believe in your project and aren't worried about that short-term flip. So, you know, some unique ways of approaching how you, because like if you look, consider like the actual crowdsourcing, you know, these types of crowdsourcing businesses don't mint out, quote unquote. They don't sell out their shares usually instantly. It's a slow process. People do their due diligence. They understand what they're investing. They understand it's a long-term hold. Realistically, we have a lot more liquidity in the NFT crowdsourcing, if you want to use that terminology. We have a lot more liquidity than a typical crowdsourcing business where you might be locked in and not have any type of liquidity unless that business is very, very successful and reaches some sort of like buyout in the public stage, and then you might be able to access your shares. Because I come from the VC crowdfunding kind of industry previous to Web3, so I see a lot of parallels. But again, my comment is more like about creators setting up their structure of their mint for the long term and not worried so much about the short term. Oh, we minted out in 8 minutes. Like, look at us, we're awesome. Well, that's great. You might have minted out in 8 minutes, but like, who's actually going to keep those NFTs for 8 years? Like, some of those people, 80%, what is it? What's the number of people that are going to hold those? And what's the number of people that are actually just going to go straight to the market and flip those? And if they can't make a profit, they're going to destroy you on Twitter. They're going to be absolutely garbage trash can dumpsters all over the place and shitting on your project if they're not able to profit from it, because that's all they're looking for. So don't cater to the flippers. Cater to those truly long-term investors and community members.
So, yeah, awesome points. And I don't know if you can hear me. I think this is where it can be awesome to have. I was thinking about Dutch auctions as a way around this, but still kind of open. I'm going to pass it off to Randall, and I know that we have Silent Soho's jumping up. We're actually kind of aware of time. I know that for Super Terra over in the UK, it's actually very late. So I'm just going to, wrap up with a few last points and, maybe close in about 5 or 10 minutes or so. So I'll pass to Randall because he's had his hand up for ages, for sure. And I'm happy to bring up Silent Soho's as well, because they're absolutely legends and good friends of ours, and they've, done very well with NFT. So over to you, Randall.
Thanks a lot, Simon. Regarding what you said when it comes to slow mint, I actually had a conversation in the space where they were like, oh my God, no one's buying and this is going to be a problem. And it was, their project was priced at 0.07 ETH. And I told them that, slow mints are, as you said, rightfully said, like it's not a bad thing. It gives you more time to even plan or maybe change your plans. If you have certain things in your roadmap, you want to start figuring it out, now is the time. And then you have someone continuing the marketing, right? Because you can't expect that everything's going to be fine and dandy. And even if it is, like even projects that sell out, their floor price drops way below the mint price. And then people start getting scared. But when that happens, think about it this way. Is it not an easier way, the barrier of entry on pricing on the floor price drops? It makes it easier for others who couldn't afford the mint price to get in. So why not turn it into a marketing campaign where our floor price is low? Now's the time to get in, right? Before you skyrocket or before you head to the moon. Like, these types of communications are available. People are just not thinking in that manner. And that brings me to my next point, where the standard of how things are being practiced, like whether it's communication, marketing, building a project, isn't a standard, right? It is not a professional, like it's not similar to like starting a business in real life, right? That's completely different. Like, you have to have certain questions answered, yes, but there's a format to doing things. Like, did you trademark? Did you copyright? Blah, blah, blah. Like, did you get done with those? We don't ask those questions, obviously. Like, are you a legally registered business, or are you just coming into the NFT space behind your laptop and saying, yeah, I'm a co-founder of XYZ? I mean, you have to do certain things if you want certain results, right? That's the gist of it. If you can prove to me that you are that kind of project, then more than likely you might sell out, or you might be able to get whatever your goal is out of minting. But it tends not to happen. So don't expect like the world to come at, you know, come knocking at your website ready to mint if you aren't doing enough other than just putting it out there for people to buy. You have to consider all those things, like why are Bored Apes so serious about what they do? Because they know they have influence, but they also know they have every structure they need. And not to bring up the Bored Apes, but yes, they are an example of structure. Now, though it's centralized and so on, and people don't like all that shit, unfortunately, you're not doing anything different. You're just trying to go about your way like, yeah, I have a roadmap on Discord. I have a Discord. I have a logo. Did you trademark it? Did you register it? Did you do all the legal things you need to do? You know, do you have an accountant? Have you had an accountant check your stuff? Did you have a lawyer check, you know, everything you need legally in real life? And then did you have someone who's an actual developer develop the smart contract, or did you just rip off some template and some guy on Fiverr was like, yeah, I write smart contracts. And then, you know, I mean, you have to consider your approach. It may not be seen to the world, but it shows in results of what you've been doing. You, no matter what, it's something that you can't hide. You can't fake. I mean, you can fake it till you make it, but then you got to wait, right, for all the, essentially all the people who are not well-researched, not well-read, to come into your project. And if that's the kind of crowd you want, then don't expect a community out of it. Expect people to come in and just make a flip and leave.
Yeah, well, is it a business or is it a hobby, right? And that's, you know, the big difference. I know that Digital got your hand up. I do actually want to bring Solos up, but if you've got something to add, Digital, jump up and speak, and then we'll bring up Silencer Hose, and then we'll wrap up afterwards because we are, you know, conscious of time as well.
Oh, I mean, he could go before me. It's just my own is a simple question, but I don't want to kill the flow or whatever. So I was just going to ask it last. So he could go before me. Or should I ask now?
You can go.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. we're on 10 hooks now.
But sorry, everyone. It's still on the lines of NFTs and all this other stuff, right? I'm just very confused on, like, I understand DAOs and everything, right? Do y'all prefer DAOs or centralized like aspects? Because for me, right, I have nothing wrong with a centralized structure, you know. I just feel like all leaders in the world in the Web2 space have just been so garbage for so much years and centuries. It's just people are just tired of it. So my question is, do you, for you to invest, does it need to be a DAO? Like, I just was curious on what everyone's thoughts, because if I want to make something, I don't know if people would just be like, nah, this isn't a DAO, right? But the biggest projects out there are centralized. So I don't understand. That's just my question.
I think a DAO is a good selling point, though, when it comes to a project. Obviously, it takes time to implement, of course.
Go ahead, Randall.
Yeah, so funny enough, one of the projects I'm involved in is trying to create a DAO. Now, the problem with creating a DAO is you can't go around saying, I'm the co-founder, I'm the CEO. That doesn't work in a DAO, right? In a DAO, everyone is equal. There's no structure of positioning. There's no hierarchy. It's literally everyone who participates. Of course, there should be leadership. By all means, there should be some form of leadership. But if your project or the founders of the project are controlling everything, then you are not using the DAO or what the idea of a DAO is to the fullest. And yes, absolutely right, Solos. It is basically used as a marketing plot to like get people involved to say, yeah, you're going to be part of a DAO. And then what ends up happening is, should we do a Twitter space or a Discord space? Like, which would you prefer? That's like, what am I voting for exactly here? I thought I'm voting for like decisions of the company, right? And that's the other problem. Like, am I coming here to vote on like who should we collaborate with in the Twitter space? I mean, in the NFT world? Or are you going to tell me that you have two partnerships on the table? One is going to take this much percentage of the company and this is what they're giving us? You know, like, where is the tone of a DAO in that? Like, I want to make decisions. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen. There's always going to be, it's trying to, you know, I am actually part of another project, which is a fashion DAO. And when we have our meetings, there is no like, oh, you're going to be in charge of everything, so you do it. It's community driven, literally community driven. You have to voluntarily participate to be a part of it. If you don't, then you're not a part of it. And that's as simple as that. Contribution is how you earn your right to be there. Now, of course, the more you contribute, the more likely you have power, which is normal. Power meaning influence, because you've contributed to X amount of things. And unfortunately, it's not practiced. It can't be practiced right now with the state of like how, and, you know, going into mass adoption, are you really going to plan on bringing people who have no idea, who are like day one or day zero of the NFT world, and teaching them about a DAO? I don't think so. You need people with experience. You need people to take time to read, right? These are the kind of people you want to introduce into a project that essentially is running a DAO, because everyone should be accountable, responsible, and take ownership of everything they're doing and make sure that they're taking ownership in the right way. So that's my take on DAO. I would not ever want it per se right now. I think we have a long way to go before we get to it. So I prefer centralized. It makes more sense, you know, put the blame on the CEO because they're continuously saying that they're the CEO. And I have the right to decide that I don't want to be a part of it and move on. And it makes it easier. But as soon as you become like part of that DAO, then essentially you're going to wonder, you know, am I the reason why things are happening the way they are? That's my take. That's my experience, actually.
I actually think that companies can mature into DAOs, and that's where the power will be, because typically in a startup, right, an entrepreneur companies, is the startup phases need strong direction and leadership, right? They need that strong direction, leadership, and the ability to put right structures and teams in place to scale. But then they get to the bureaucratic stage where they kind of, that's where I think the DAO element is even more important, is as soon as, you know, a startup gets, you know, to a certain size, and then suddenly it becomes about bureaucracy and the decision making becomes shareholders and boards and all this sort of stuff. I think that's where the DAOs have a lot of power. I think the issues, there's a few issues that you get with DAOs. Firstly, like sometimes you don't get the voting and the engagement that you're kind of looking for. It's been a big issue across DAOs and crypto in general, getting people engaged in the decision making process. And then you also have issues around like skill sets, right? In a traditional company, you usually have different people that have different set roles and different strengths and skills. And you can do that in a DAO, but it could also be hard because you could have a lot of people that, if you don't have that strong leadership and that strong structure, you can have a lot of people doing lots of different things and not necessarily having to kind of, you know, the hiring process of a centralized company is very specific on the skills that you exactly need for this project in this time. Some of the downsides of a centralized project is, you know, the buy-in, right? With a DAO, people that are usually heavily involved with a DAO are probably a lot more passionate about, you know, the growth and the future of the project. So they're going to put a lot more in than possibly a centralized company. So there's goods and bads of both. I think we're still learning and investigating, you know, what the role of DAO is and DAOs are and you know, what they can do. But also, like, we'll see it in a couple of years as the, you know, companies have grown more, like, you know, maybe Border Yacht Club will become a very strong DAO in the future when they've reached that growth stage and they've kind of plateaued. So very interesting topic of discussion. And yeah, I'd love to bring Solos up.
But thank you everyone for answering my question, because I've just been so confused, honestly, on like, you know, what to go forth with. So basically, you can kind of transition from a centralized to a DAO at a certain point. Basically, I just want to make sure that I'm accurate with that, because like maybe in the future I, you know, don't want to be running it anymore and I want everyone to run it, and you know, I just be like, hey, we doing a DAO now, everyone have say, I'm not doing nothing. I mean, I am doing something, but everyone is gonna have say. I don't want to be the person to control. So I'm glad that I got clarity on that, and y'all have given me invaluable information, and I truthfully appreciate it. But thank you for answering my question again, Simon and Randall. And Solos, don't hate me. I'm sorry.
Hey, you're good. No, I just wanted to jump on real quick and say, man, this space was very informative. And, you know, I listened to all of you guys, learned a lot, and definitely will use all those ideas to move forward with my project. And there was lots of great ideas. And, you know, it's a growing ecosystem, and it's, you know, there's learning pains that, you know, come along. And once again, man, thank you guys for the space, and thanks for allowing me to come up and thank you guys. Appreciate it.
I think that's a nice way to round off as well, because it's all about learning, sharing, collaborating. That's what all of these spaces are like. And it's great, obviously, to see how well you guys are doing with the Solars. Obviously, we've been chatting for many, many months and seeing you from the genesis of your project through to your current success. So, you know, congratulations on all of that. And I think, for me, we've covered a wide range of subjects around the successes of an NFT project. And actually, I really love that latter stage question from Digital Chills around DAOs, because actually in the early stages of a DAO, you know, if you have kind of lots of lemmings running off a cliff, the DAO ain't going to work. So you kind of need some sort of strategic direction in there. But actually that balance between centralization and decentralization, it is difficult in the early stages of the project. You want to make sure it's not driving off a cliff. So it's an interesting balance. And I guess, again, you know, this whole space is not that mature. So we're all sort of learning as we go along. But what I do love, and some of the DAOs that I've been involved in, I tend, because of my nature of my life, to only take minor roles because I have so many other things going on in so many different spaces and so many different projects. But you do get a strong voice that will come in. And I think if people unite around an idea, that's where the strength of a DAO can really work. So the idea that the voice from the floor can really rise up and make a difference and drive a new strategic direction for an organization is something that we've not seen in TradFi or anything like that, but I think it's something that this space can really lead the way on. And perhaps, you know, there's an element there of creative direction for the future of organizations more generally. But that's probably a debate for another day. Obviously, fantastic as always to have some really good speakers up. And really, I love the repeat speakers. It's fantastic to see you all. But it's also brilliant when we get some new faces coming through as well. And I think, yeah, we've covered now, blimey, an hour and 43. So a good, solid discussion amongst a lot of people. And I've now started deliberately to sort of open this up. Initially, all the titles and everything else were Terra based. It wasn't intentional. It's just kind of the starting point. But I actually think by broadening the titles, we're getting a broader community in, because ultimately, and I say this every week pretty much, for us to succeed, lots of chains will come together and lots of ideas will cross-pollinate across the ecosystem. So kind of those are my last words. I'll certainly hand over to Simon, and if anyone else has any kind of burning last words. Otherwise, we do these every week. It's not unfortunate, because it sounds like it was a really good space that was happening in parallel to ours, but we always do these every week at the same time, 8 p.m. GMT. They're open debates. Next week's actually interesting. It was previewed by a really good speaker earlier, who I think may have dropped off the space now, who brought up the subject of kind of like in real life crossover. There was a lady who was on earlier, but that's going to be part of the discussion for next week. We just need to formalize the topic. And I say this every week, DM me with thoughts. We're always up for, you know, looking at different topics to talk about. It has been very NFT focused over the last probably sort of 4 to 5 weeks. We do some of the DeFi discussions as well. Obviously, Simon's a lot more expert in that space than I am, but we've had some really, really good discussions around that as well, trading strategies and so many other things besides. So thank you once again to everyone for participating, and look forward to another really enjoyable debate and discussion soon. Over to you, Simon.
Thanks, everybody,
for
jumping on. Just want to say thank you, everybody, for jumping on, and we really appreciate you guys coming and adding value every week and listening and learning. And, you know, we just want to build out this really, really strong base community for not just NFTs, but Terra, and keep it, and really pushing towards openness in everything that we do, right? We really want to make it open and inclusive. So thank you guys for jumping on, and we look forward to seeing you next week and, you know, chatting throughout the week as well. So appreciate you all.
Have a good rest of your day, evening, night.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you again. Hey, don't forget, teach me about Terra and Cosmos when you'll have a chance. But I'll be in the next space. Bye.
Yeah, no, definitely, 100%. Absolutely. We'll do that. Thanks.
Jump on Loop Learn. So go to looplearn.io. And if you check the second course, that's all about Terra.
I'll send you some links afterwards. Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Y'all a real blessing. Thank you again.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a Super Terra space chatting about what are the keys to success in a startup NFT project. Recorded on Monday, May 2nd, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sit
sipping on a little bit of sin I've been giving. Try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits. Going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics, stretching out the distance. For instance, let me be specific. The risk is hedge funding the business, betting on the difference, ingesting all the research, sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first. Sleep tight, little dreamer. Early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor. Taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension. Something to endear myself a little bit. Something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true, it really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. When it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling abominable with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground soaring. I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little as to do with what everything is. But it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.
Terror spaces.